It's time to bring out the Better Worldian in all of us. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio with your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. Better Worldians Radio inspires you with the people and ideas that are making the world a better place. You'll hear how small acts can make a big difference every day. Now, here are Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory.
Hi, this is Ray Hansel. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio. Better Worldians Radio is a weekly broadcast whose mission is to uplift and inspire you to make the world a better place. Every week, we'll be interviewing best-selling authors, film producers, TED speakers, happiness experts, and also everyday people just like you. We call Better Worldians, whose small acts make a huge difference. Let me first introduce our family team that created the popular virtual world on Facebook called A Better World. It rewards players for doing good deeds while helping to raise money and awareness for charities. So let me introduce you to my co-hosts, Mary Sue Hansel and Greg Hansel. Mary Sue has been a successful entrepreneur and business executive for over 30 years. She's also an avid practitioner of the healing arts, positive psychology, spirituality. And now, here's my life partner, Mary Sue.
Hi, it's really great to be here to share all the good being done in the world today. Let me also introduce Gregory. Gregory has a background in philosophy and world religions, and most importantly, has spent over 15 years at the intersection of technology, social causes, and big ideas.
Hi, everyone. This is Greg. Thanks so much for joining us today on Better Worldians Radio. Let me just tell you a bit about my dad, Ray. He's a serial entrepreneur who successfully founded and married to a public and national marketing firm. Giving back has always been important to Dad, who supports cancer research, disabled children, and disadvantaged families. This week on Better Worldians Radio, we're talking about developing the whole person in the developing world. When it comes to helping the disadvantaged in some of the poorest countries, everyone knows that donations and volunteering go a long way and do a lot of good. But you know, there's that old saying, give someone a fish, feed them for a day, but teach someone to fish and feed them for a lifetime.
An important part of helping people is teaching them to help themselves. People take pride in learning how to take care of themselves and their communities.
Our guests this week have dedicated their lives and their foundation to doing just that, teaching kids to rise above their situation and help themselves. In 2009, Mick Quinn and Deborah Prieto started the Integral Heart Foundation in Antigua, Guatemala, in response to the extreme poverty there. The foundation envisions a community transformed to one that cares deeply about finding sustainable solutions to its own problems, and also one that understands that any small act of compassion service also affects the future of humanity as a whole. As an Irish immigrant who fully embraced the American dream, Mick's life path brought him from his native home in Ireland to New York City, where he founded several successful businesses, to the publication of a book on the future of human potential, The Uncommon Path, to his current work in the slums surrounding the Spanish colonial city of Antigua, Guatemala.
Deborah graduated from the University of Madrid as an educator of mentally handicapped children. She spent the following 10 years working with her skills in the Spanish healthcare system. Deborah is also a trained facilitator of the Big Mind process, a counseling tool that combines Western psychology and Zen teachings, which she uses in her work there.
And by the way, Mick and Deborah know us both professionally and personally through our involvement with their foundations. And it's a special treat as a consequence to have them join us on our show today. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio, Mick and Deborah.
Thank you, Ray and Mary Sue and Greg. And it's our pleasure to be here live from Guatemala. And
And thank you for your support, your ongoing support to us.
Most importantly, Thank you so much for your ongoing support.
You're very, very welcome. I'd like to start by asking you a question, a personal question. You know, Mary Sue and I have been a husband and wife team for many years, even recently joining up with our son, Gregory. So I have to ask you, how do you find working together? By the way, keep in mind that you are on the air, and Deborah's going to hear everything you say. So,
well, she's right here beside me. we actually love it, Ray. I love it. And you know, it all started when I was writing the book and Deborah became involved with me in translating the book, when we were living back in Europe. So we kind of always had a desk, each in the same office. So, you know, all of those skills of working together and kind of transferred into this work. And you know, we do take our time for ourselves. I mean, Deb likes to stay at home and do the garden, and I like to go ride my motorcycle. So we have our own things that keep us apart as well.
Also, for me, it's interesting because we pretty much from the beginning had like the same like mission, let's say, which also makes us like talk about the same things. Like when, you know, when you have free time, you're having a glass of wine, for instance, you have these conversations in which our aim is the same. So we know what we are talking about, and we just keep building, and it's very interesting.
Well, let me ask you, your organization, the Integral Heart Foundation, it was started in Guatemala. Why did you two decide to start the journey in the first place?
Well, we came here on vacation, Ray, after the book was published in 2009, because that was a seven-year project, you know, of writing and publishing and releasing the book, and we just needed a break after that period. And rather than going back to Europe, we were living in the States at the time, we decided to come, you know, south of the border just to immerse back into some Spanish culture. And while we were here on the first week, we stayed in Antigua, which is a beautiful Spanish colonial city. And you'd never know there was poverty because this is really a bubble in this world down here. And on the second week, we rented a car to go try and find a place called Ishimche, which is the original Mayan capital of Guatemala. And on the way there, we got lost in this town, and it was right around the time that the kids were getting out of school. So if you can imagine the scene of hundreds of Guatemalan children in their little school uniforms walking through these streets of dirt and starving dogs and cinder block homes with tin roofs. And it just dawned on us, like almost simultaneously, like, where is all of this potential going to go? And this question really troubled us. And, you know, we went back to the States after our vacation, and the question stayed with us. And we decided within 3 months to actually move here and facilitate the potential that we saw in these children to emerge and, you know, grow in the conditions, the horrible conditions we saw down here.
Yeah, to me it was emotionally very shocking. It was my first view of a country with this kind of poverty, not that in what we call first world countries there is no poverty, but not to this level, not to this extreme. So for me, it was really hard, and I couldn't think about coming back home and stay on my couch watching TV and deny what I saw. I just couldn't deal with that.
Just for our listeners' information, where exactly is the country of Guatemala located, and just about how big is it?
Guatemala is about the same size as Virginia. It's a little bit smaller than Ireland, and it's the next country down from Mexico. So if you know, to drive from the States, you would, in miles, it's about 1,000 miles. Mexico is about 1,000 miles long. So from Brownsville to here is about 1,050 miles, give or take. You can fly out of Miami in 2 hours. It's actually quite close, actually, which is something we really like about it.
And you and your wife actually chose to live there. Now, what are the advantages of being right there on the ground?
Well, one thing we heard, Ray, after we moved here, we started volunteering. I mean, we had no idea we were actually going to, how the Integral Heart Foundation, our work, was actually going to emerge. The idea for the nonprofit didn't appear until about a year after we got here. But we started volunteering and with different organizations here around Antigua. And one thing we heard is that the volunteers come and go here, and program directors come and go. You know, foreigners. And the kids really miss, because they will form a relationship with a volunteer, and then all of a sudden the volunteer decides to go to Nicaragua or go back to college or whatever their own life path has them on. So the kids were having problems, or are, I guess, forming relationships with people who were here to help them, because all of a sudden they just leave. So one of the things that inspired us was to actually be here and be here for the kids. And you know, we've seen some of our children growing from 12 years old now, and now they're 16, and, you know, they're changing and they're growing into young men and young women, and we're along beside them for their life.
Yeah, and we know them all, everybody that is in the organization, we know them all. We see them every week. We have that kind of personal contact that you cannot have from distance. And it's very important. We go to their homes. We visit their families. They know we are here. They know that if we travel, we are going to come back. And for them, it's really a deeper relationship, and they respond way better.
Mm-hmm. Now, our listeners might not know that literally 75% of Guatemalans live below the poverty level, and more than half are even worse off and have incomes below what is defined as extreme poverty. So, So what do those statistics actually look like on the ground in Guatemala?
I would say that half of the kids in our program live in homes that do not have floors, meaning they live on dirt. Half of them do not have access to electricity or constant running water. That same 50% also have a roof over their head that's made from lamina, which is tin or aluminum siding, that's leaky and old and noisy. It doesn't keep out the cold. It doesn't keep out the heat. Doesn't keep out vermin or spiders or mosquitoes. The other half, I would say, live in cinder block homes that are in towns, what we call level one house, which would mean they have some sort of public lighting outside and more constant access to running water, not all the time. But in those conditions, they're also very crowded. Even the people who live in towns, it's not unusual to find three or four generations and several families living in a space that, you know, normally should accommodate maybe one person. It's normal to find 12 or 14 people living in a space like that.
And you both, I guess, being right there, I would assume you develop some personal relationships with these people that you're working with on a regular basis.
We love these kids. we miss them. Like if we have a week in which there is a holiday or something like that, we are like, the previous night before the next class, we are like looking forward. It's like, oh, tomorrow we are going to see the kids. And they love us. The personal is very important for us. And it's one of the things that we want to empower also with the sponsors, in which they also can have a relationship with the kids, because we do Skypes with them. So we know them all.
I can see that as a very, very big advantage in that you can develop that personal relationship. And actually your sponsors in the developed world will also have that opportunity as well. And we're going to talk about that as we segue into the final section of the show today. Right now we're going to take a break, but please stay tuned. We're going to continue our conversation with Mick and Deborah about their very unique approach to aid when we come back. In the meantime, you can learn more at betterworldliness.com. And follow our live tweets at twitter.com/betterworldnews. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from there on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds, make a difference, and have fun. Become a better worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
Hi, we're back live with Nick Quinn and Deborah Prieto. This husband and wife team have started this Integral Heart Foundation in Antigua, Guatemala, in response to extreme poverty there. And they're focusing on helping people help themselves. In the meantime, you can learn more at betterworldians.com and follow our live tweets at twitter.com/betterworldians.
Hey, Mick and Deborah, this is Greg. How are you doing today?
Hey, Greg.
I want to talk a little bit about the name of the organization for the listeners, you know, Integral Heart Foundation. So integral means something like holistic and comprehensive. How does that describe what you do there day to day?
Well, integral is that, Greg, and also it describes a philosophy that we have been followers of for many years. That's from an American philosopher by the name of Ken Wilber. And he looks at the world and at ways to make the world a better place from what he calls an integral perspective. And this integral perspective includes the development of the self. It includes the development of the relationship. It includes the development of the body. And it also includes the development of society. So it's let's say in its most essential nature, integral is like a four-pointed development plan that when those parts of our abilities are developed simultaneously, we can bring about more holistic or more sustainable solutions to the issues that we're dealing with. And also we can progress in our own personal evolution at a faster rate.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's really fascinating. I mean, how does that, you know, I guess that would mean that the approach begins with the basics. How do some of your programs handle issues at the basic level?
Well, at the very basic level, like for instance, I took a picture yesterday. It was the closing day of our critical thinking program. And, you know, I took a picture of the sandwich and a glass of water. And, you know, this is at the most basic level is that when the teenagers and adolescents come into that program, the first thing they have is a morning meal or an afternoon meal, because we like to teach them when they have a full belly.
And also, for instance, yesterday we had this student who has been sick with flu since Sunday, and she didn't have money to even buy aspirins to put the fever down. So we just brought her to a pharmacy.
Right before the class. So the most essential things like food and basic medicines like an antihistamine, so she could clear her head. These are you know, things that we provide at the lowest level. Besides, you know, in our sponsorship program, we have the food baskets, which include, you know, various proteins like eggs and chicken that normally the families would not be able to afford, that are also provided at that very basic level.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really wonderful that you do provide that. You know, based on how you describe Integral, I'd imagine it also involves things like education and spirituality even. You know, what kind of projects at IHF incorporate those areas?
Well, we have the critical thinking program, which is also known as the Integral Philosophy Program. We focus on the development of mind, body, spirit, and emotions. So the kids in that class, I mean, we're working towards the goal of not teaching our students what to think, mm-hmm. but teaching them how to think for themselves. And for instance, we spent most of this year on a module that's based in Freudian and Jungian, and also other advanced theories on shadow and ego. And at the end of the class, one of the kids came up to us and she was telling us how she's actually using the teachings on shadow and on managing her emotional state in regard to her parents, who've been arguing a lot because they're really short of money, and she has to live in those conditions. So very practical things that can help the children deal with themselves and with the world that they're living in.
And I also have a background in philosophy that I studied for 3 years at the University of Madrid. So we work on like classic philosophy from all authors, all ideas. We work on all kind of religions and in all kind of backgrounds that are possible.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think you had mentioned you do some leadership training. How does that work?
The leadership training was I have a background in, as you mentioned there, in business. And after I kind of got tired starting businesses, I became a coach and I was helping people, you know, start, manage, sell their own businesses. And you know, running a nonprofit in a way is like running a business. The product is different. Of course, your revenue sources are slightly different, but essentially it's like running a business. Right. So we had encountered several organizations down here where it's not uncommon where, let's say, a donor will arrive from Europe and fall in love with a particular project. And let's say this project is, you know, let's say 10 children in two rooms with this very charismatic leader. And what they do is they'll say, oh, I want to give you $50,000 and I want you to build a school and have 10 rooms and 100 kids and 5 staff. Now, that sounds wonderful and it's great progress. But the problem that the donors usually don't think about is, does the leader have the skills to run, to go from 2 rooms and 14 children to 10 rooms and 114 children? So that's where we come in and helping those leaders. I mean, one case, there was a lady who was, you know, she was absolutely terrified when they were building her new school. And we used to go there with her and sit in the development site on these plastic chairs in her office that had no walls. And we would have her visualize just sitting there managing the school, that everything was running. And, you know, 2 years later, her daughter is now trained in Excel. They can do projections because they never knew anything about, you know, they were not run out of money on the 21st of the month and go, oh, how did that happen? So this is part of what we would do with them is help them to, you know, manage a larger project.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting. You know, I wonder if you could tell the listeners, you know, what kind of impact you've seen of that approach. You know, is there a time or a particular case where you really saw the sort of integral teach someone to fish, as it were, philosophy worked for somebody?
We have, Greg, and, you know, I think this year we saw the most amazing changes in was one of the homework assignments that we gave towards the end of the year was called Your Perfect Day. Now, this is an exercise that I did many, many years ago with a pretty well-known teacher in the States, Tony Robbins.
Yes.
And he asked you to describe your perfect day and visualize your perfect day and all of this. So we gave this assignment to the kids. Now, there are about 32 or so of the teenagers in our critical thinking program. And 3 of them came back with what we would call a world-centric perspective. So there are basically 3 essential perspectives we can have. And this is from Integral. So there's an egocentric, where I think mostly about myself. Mm-hmm. There's an ethnocentric, where I think about my group, my family, my country. And then there's a world-centric, where I can include in my perspective, in my perfect day, the world itself. And one of the kids was he's just graduated a chef through our sponsorship program. And as part of his schooling, he went to a village that's quite remote. And because of that visit there to feed that village, he has decided, and he included this in his perfect day, that he would open a chain of restaurants around the world to feed people who cannot afford to feed themselves. And this is coming from a 21-year-old who lives in a slum less than 3 miles from here, dirt floors, and they even have a stream flowing through their house. And in the rainy season, they have to get out of there. And this is and there was, do you want to tell the story of Jenny?
Jenny wants to do the same thing, but with hospitals.
She wants to be a nurse.
Yeah.
Right?
She wants to open a chain of hospitals and take care of people who cannot afford help.
So this is what we're seeing. We're seeing these are not pipe dreams. These are actually stages of development, or let's say new levels of awareness that are emerging in these kids because of the impact of the Integral philosophy teachings.
And what's your overall, you know, vision and goal using this philosophy in Guatemala? What do you hope to achieve, you know, in the longer term?
Well, our dream is one that we think we cannot see in our lifetime, but it will be go from to make like a geometrical growth in which what we are training right now are the future teachers, so they can impact in more teenagers and other students, and then, you know, like maybe go to another countries and begin this and do some change with more people.
And we're fundraising this year, actually, at the end of this year, Greg, for a program that we call our Superstar Program, because there's about 16 teenagers in the class that lap up this philosophy like you wouldn't believe. I mean, they come to the class bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. They're always asking for stuff. They're posting things like from The Little Prince and Socrates on their Facebook page. I mean, these are kids who are really interested in this. What we'd like to do is to take these superstars and put them into a 3-year long-term training program to make them into junior teachers of these basic theories that we've been using here, let's say integral meditation, ego shadow, and then send them out into the NGO world, the nonprofit school world here, or even into the public school system to be able to finance their salaries, which is around $300 or $400 a month for a teacher. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine the impact of, let's say we graduate 5 teenagers or 5 of these teens 5 years from now, they mm-hmm. will be end up teaching 75 kids each every week. So do the math there.
Yeah. I mean, it is really amazing. You know, I'd like to tell people about a particular project we worked on together, and then you could show them the sort of integral approach and how that, you know, affected things in the local culture on different levels. Just so the listeners know that Integral Heart Foundation and we here at A Better World work together on a project. We have a location in the game called Heart Cart, and it's where you can send hearts to people that are fun or romantic or sweet or that kind of thing. We challenged our players to send 50,000 hearts in 1 month. And if they met that goal, we'd provide funds that would allow solar generators to be set up in 2 schools around Integral Heart Foundation's area. And what was amazing, our players exceeded that goal, and we funded the installation of those lights. If you could tell us first why those solar generators were so badly needed and what was the reaction to the improvements they provided.
I think we really exceeded that goal, right, Greg? I didn't think we were going to make it in the first 2 weeks, and all of a sudden it just went crazy.
Yeah, people were just so really moved by it. If you remember, we had actually hearts with pictures of some of the children there, and they really, those did really well.
Well, one of the villages is called Mano de Leon, which is actually a flower. It's called Hand of the Lion. And it's only 5 miles from here, but it's actually isolated because it's in a valley behind some mountains. And the village has been there for 50 years. They just actually managed to get out of 10 houses last year. Another organization built them houses. About 120 people. They have a school that was built by the government for them, a 2-room school. But there's no electricity and there's no running water. So in the rainy season here, it can be pretty dark during the day, and especially where they are because they're actually at a higher elevation. We're at 5,000 feet and they're almost up at 6,000. So it can be dark. So we installed one of the units that you guys helped us fund in their school. So now they have 2 things that are really important. The first thing is light, of course, because they have bulbs. These are a 75-watt unit from a local company here in Guatemala. But the second most important thing that they have is there are 3 outlets on the unit, and they have music.
Yes.
Because Guatemalans love music. So when you go into the village, it's like the only other sound you hear besides, you know, sheep and goats blaying is the music coming out of the school, because they just love to have this music. So that was one of the installations. And the second one we did was on our own kindergarten location. And that was here near Antigua. And that was to supplement our electricity bill there. So it cut our power bill by 70%.
Wow.
So thank you.
So, you know, that's sort of what happens at that basic level, that subsistence level. You know, one question I had was, how did those solar generators, you know, allow some of the other aspects of the mission to come to fruition?
Well, in let's say, for example, in Mano de Leon, it's a village that wasn't really visited by many people until we got there. And we've noticed over the years that it takes some time to build trust. And installing a solar system with the amount of work that it took and the cost of it and transporting the unit there and getting the company to come down with their technicians, and you know, it was no small effort. It really helped us build trust with the villagers and with the kids there, because when we went there first, they would hide behind trees. They wouldn't even come near you. They were like, you know, if you approach a stray dog on the street, he kind of looks at you and runs away. This is how the children were in the first year. Mm-hmm. So these basic installations, the solar systems, really help us build a degree of trust with the villagers, so then we can approach them with other aspects of our work.
And also, now they can study for longer, because before couldn't see.
Yeah, they would actually have the classes outside underneath the, you know, they had like a veranda on the school, so they would sit outside of the school trying to have their classes. Now at least they can stay inside and stay dry, because they can see.
Wow. Well, we're touched that we were able to be a part of that here at Better Worldians.
Oh, thank you.
My next question about the heart dimension. You know, we talked about the integral dimension of this, and that's fascinating. What's the heart dimension of the Integral Heart Foundation?
Well, that had a little bit to do with my name. I have a Zen background, and I have a Dharma name, and my name is Ji-Yung, which means pure heart. So, as you're supposed to live up to your name, we wanted to include it because this is life for us. As I said, even when we are chilling out, let's say, we're talking about this. We are talking about our kids. We are talking about anybody who had a problem, how we are going to approach it, how we are going to fix it, how we are going to help them. So it's an integral part of our lives, the heart. And also because as I said before, what we want with the sponsors as well, besides ourselves, is that they have a heart connection with their kids. We don't want them to have a connection with a bank account in which they send money every month and that's about it. We want both sides, that the kids know that there is somebody that cares of them, but also the person who cares can actually get to know the kid, get to talk to the kid, and get to have a heart connection.
And you know, Greg, I'll just add to that. You know, the Integral Heart Foundation also offers an avenue for individuals in the developed world who have reached a tremendously high level of development, and it allows for a way for them to express that which they have learned in theory. So, you know, the way I say it is, are you a theory talker or a path walker? So what we're doing is we're offering a path or a way for these wonderful theories that have emerged in spiritual development and emotional development to manifest on the ground with individuals who are just not who haven't been as lucky as most of us who maybe listen to this call have been. So it's offering a path to the heart.
And what is walking that path like then?
Say again. I didn't hear the last part, Greg.
What is walking that path like then?
Well, I'll tell you, it's rewarding and it's incredibly challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I'm sure Deb will add on the end here. But you know, when we first moved here and we started doing this work, there were times when you thought you'd heard the worst news, or you thought that you'd seen the worst thing that day. And it, we would crash. I mean, emotionally, it would just completely overwhelm you, psychologically overwhelm us. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, you would venture back out. It's like, you know, like the little muskrat would stick its head out of the hole and say, I think it's safe to go back outside. And as soon as you go back outside, you get nailed again. And this went on for about a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after a while, and I hate to say this, but you kind of get used to the suffering, the conditions that people live in the world, people that we know. And it just takes a long time to, and I don't want to say get used to it that we don't care, but you get used to it in the way that you can actually continue to function and not have it destroy your intentions.
Yeah, I remember times in which I just couldn't leave the house. I spent like 2 weeks on a road without getting out of my house because I just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
And everything you see, every, like, even an abandoned dog, I mean, you're so, like, vulnerable, let's say, that you just can deal with it. And but you have to actually learn how to deal with it, and you have to continue. And you know that there is a lot of work to be done, so you have to be functional.
Well, the work you both do is incredible and certainly needed, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Mick and Deborah, this is amazing work that you're doing. I know it takes a great deal of courage to start something like this, but I think what you're pointing out to our listeners is how much perseverance and endurance is involved in keeping this going. You know, some organizations get to the four-year mark or to the five-year mark, and then suddenly wind begins to hit the sails. So it's somehow you guys have gotten to this four-year, to this three- or four-year mark, but you're still going through the choppy waters, the choppy times, and I congratulate you on your endurance and your perseverance. It's to be commended, and we are going to continue to do whatever we can to keep that wind at your back. We need to take another break right now. When we come back, you can ask Mick and Deborah some questions yourself about Integral Heart, the good work that they're doing here in Guatemala. You can call in at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. And by the way, you can also email us at radio@betterworldians.com, or you can tweet us a question at twitter.com/betterworldians. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from then on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a Better Worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
We're back with Mick Quinn and Deborah Prieta of Integral Heart Foundation. Please feel free to send us in any questions. You can call us in at 1-866-472-5788. You can also email us at radio@betterworldians.com or tweet us a question at twitter.com/betterworldians.
Hi, Mick and Deborah. As you know,
Hi, Mary Sue.
Okay. As you know, I first saw your work on Facebook when you were calling out for help with two little children, Jimenta and Chente. And their story that you had on Facebook just melted my heart. And that was really one of the jumping off points for our partnership between Integral Heart and A Better World or Virtual World on Facebook. Would you mind sharing the story about how the foundation helped them and tell us all about Jimenez and Chente?
Well, this was years ago. And we went to a school in San Mateo. San Mateo is like 3 miles from Antigua. And we were teaching to the teenagers our philosophy class. And we were also doing work with the director of that program. And when we arrived to teach the class, she told us this case of these three kids that, you know, they needed help. And that day, the particular day, we were kind of busy. So I say, okay, let's set a visit for next week. We are going to do the class. And then, you know, next week we go to visit them. But we went to do the class. And the director of the program, in the meantime, she went to the house and picked up the kids and brought them to the project. So when we finished the class, we see what you saw. We see these three kids. You know, the story goes that they were abandoned by the father when they were born. One was Luisito, he was 7. Then it was Jimena with 3 and Chente with 1.5 years. So they start living with the mother, but the mother found a boyfriend who was younger than her, and she didn't want the boyfriend to know that she had 3 children. So she dropped the kids with grandma. Now, grandma already had like 8 children on her own, and the father, grandpa, was an alcoholic, and the work of grandma, who was feeding everybody, was to go to the boots and pick up boot and sell it to the market, so she wasn't at home all day. So Luisito, who was 7, was taking care of Jimena and Chente, and of course, they didn't have anything. They didn't have shoes. Like, the clothes were like, I mean, it was pathetic. When I saw those three kids, I just couldn't deal with it. I just, like, freak out. And we decided at that point. Also, Chente, his belly was all burned because Luisito warming up water. I mean, he is 7. He threw it on top of the baby. So we realized that just a sponsorship wasn't enough because somebody had to take care of these kids. So Luisito could go to a school and somebody will do proper care with these kids during the day. Since when we posted this picture, and in the same day, I think, is you saw it and you already began with your support. And with that, we began our first kindergarten.
That was a wonderful story. I couldn't believe that our donation at that time actually gave them their first pair of shoes that they ever had.
They ever had, yeah.
Actually, it was difficult for them because they didn't want to wear it.
Yeah, they probably didn't like having them.
Luisito was very happy with the shoes, but he was showing the shoes in the hand to everybody. But for him to wear them, it was really difficult. We had to actually work on him to actually wear the shoes.
And I, you know, Mary Sue, I remember you commenting in back in those days how Chente would never smile. And you remember I was talking earlier about not being able to get close to these kids. Now, this guy, you couldn't even get near him. And when you did, there was definitely no smiles. And I think I posted a picture it was earlier this year when we went to visit them at the school, like the difference in this boy. I mean, I have a picture here holding him in my arms, which would be impossible 2 years earlier. His face is like twice as white as it was. He's got his hair quality is different, and he's smiling and he's looking at the camera. So it's like there are so many other benefits that these kids get besides, you know, just the fact that they have someone to look after him during the day.
Right, the smile was just so rewarding, it really was. And he had such an adorable face in the first place that made the whole thing. Anyway, this has probably made just tons of memories for you over these few years that you've been working in Guatemala. What sticks out to you as a special moment that made you feel like your organization, your foundation, was having a real impact there?
Well, I think that, like, this particular case is kind of special for us. It's kind of touching. because the situation was really, really bad. It was beyond anything. But then other touching moments are always when, for instance, the teenagers, they come, sometimes you overhear them talking, and they call us daddy and mommy.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, when they talk, they don't call us directly, but when they talk between them and they fight, or no, they love me more, they love me. It's not like a fight of love or anything like that. But, or when they have any success, like when they are proud of themselves because they succeed in their classes, which without the help that we are providing, we and the sponsors, I mean, we are here, but we need everybody. Everybody's part of this. So when you see them that they got a title, that they achieved what they wanted, and it was because of all this effort that we all are doing, it's kind of nice, I have to say.
Yeah, and I would add to that, especially with the, you know, we had our first two guys graduate this year who've been with us since 2010. And Esley graduated as an accountant and Miguel graduated as a chef. And, you know, through the kind help of our sponsors for those two guys. But to see them standing in the same class, wearing a suit, carrying a briefcase, going off to an interview.
Cool.
And Miguel, we actually managed to get him a job at a friend of ours who owns a 5-star French restaurant. The guy is so thrilled. But he still wants to come to the philosophy class. And, you know, we gave him their homework this year of Jeff Carrera's book that they're going to be reading and writing a report on. And they're still interested in the work. And it's just so amazing to see them grow, because we don't have children of our own. We have three dogs. So these are, you know, these 30 teenagers are kind of our kids in a way.
You have 30 children that you didn't know.
Yeah. And, you know, something else too that were really, and you know, struck me yesterday. I took a picture of Liz, who's our sponsorship director, program director, sitting on the couch at the class with our community liaison, who's a Guatemalan woman, who started with us cleaning our house back in 2010. And she turned out to be this amazingly trustful woman. And, you know, she has gone through such changes over the last 2 years or 3 years with us that now she's, you know, our community liaison, working with families in the same slum where she's still living and chooses to live. But I mean, her house is vastly, vastly improved. She has managed to divorce her husband on our advice, which is a big no-no down here. And, you know, just to see these two adults sitting on a couch with loads of papers talking about this family and that family. And I know that it's all because of the work that we've been doing, the structures that we have in place, and, of course, our network of donors around the world.
Well, you know, one figure that really impressed me is that 85% of the donations to the IHF go directly to the programs. Now, how can our listeners help? Where can they donate? What's the best thing for them to do to help you folks?
Well, our website, Mary Sue, is integralheartfoundation.org.
Okay.
And on there, there's a pretty large donate now button, I think it's called. And that takes them to options to give. And we have as many options that you can shake a stick at. So PayPal or to a bank account or writing a check or even using Amazon payments or using a credit card or debit card. So we have many options set up there. And we love to get donations of $5, $10, $20.
Even the small donations. Okay, great.
So if someone wants to give us $500,000, that's totally fine.
Okay, well, hopefully you get one from someone listening to this call. Oh, by the way, we have a caller coming in. So let us let the call through. Hi, Jenny. You're here live with Mick Quinn and Deborah Priota on Better Worldians Radio. Do you have a question for Mick or Deborah?
I do. Hi, Mick and Deborah.
Hi, Jenny.
Thank you so much for your work you do. It's so inspiring. You've told us so much about the conditions in Guatemala, how difficult it is. What's the biggest challenge you face with these conditions?
Wow. There are many. Like, from an emotional perspective, I can say that sometimes when you see that much need, A big challenge is when your kids need extra help for something and you cannot provide it. That for us, because, you know, you just don't have the means to do so. For instance, our sponsorships are based in a school. So if you sponsor a kid, what happens is that we pay the tuition for the school. That's what it covers. But then there are extra things always. And and sometimes, and they are real extra things. It's not that they want a new iPhone, right? And sometimes you have to say no, and that really breaks your heart.
And you know, Jenny, I'd look at that from another perspective on your question there. I mean, you know, we've been talking about the dark side of Guatemala. There's another side to this country. I mean, this country is absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if you've been here, but there's 33 volcanoes. Three of them are active. Wow. And the weather is pretty absolutely gorgeous all year round. The people are, I mean, despite the poverty, wonderfully happy, cheery people. The colors, the parades, I mean, it's a stunning country, as is, you know, El Salvador and Honduras that we visited, and also Mexico. They're amazing, amazing countries. But
that's great.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges that I see is the future for these kids in growing into a country that has the infrastructure to support the potential that we're seeing in them. I think they're the let's say the authorities here are a long way behind developing a structured and coherent infrastructure in general in the country that can help these kids grow, and also the availability of funding. I mean, it's impossible down here to get a mortgage that's not 10% interest, so you don't really have funding available yet. Yeah, from banks. So without credit, we're not going to see a growth in, you know, especially in small businesses, because it's, you know, at 10%, you can't take out a mortgage.
Okay, well, that's great.
Wow.
Thanks so much for that answer, and thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny.
Mick and Deborah, we do have a couple of emails coming in. Let me see. We have one here from a Tabby E. And Tabby asks, what's it like for kids day to day? In other words, what is a typical day?
Well, it's depending on what age they are. So let's say from 6 to 12. Okay, I only go to school in the afternoon because in the mornings my school is occupied by teenagers. So if I'm 13 to 18, I go to school in the morning. So basically the kids have half a day off every day. The reason for this is that the schools don't have the infrastructure. They just don't have enough school rooms to cater for all the children. So my typical day would be getting up pretty early because a lot of the kids will work before they go to school because a lot of kids come from homes that are subsistence farming, or they have to go to, to go literally walk into the woods to collect firewood so they can warm up something in the morning or so the mom can make, can cook something for them. So they'll work before they go to school. And then in the afternoons, the reason why there are so many NGOs down here is that, and part of the work that we do is we provide what are called after school programs. Now, they're not after school like in the States where they start at 3:30 in the afternoon. These are, you know, they would run all day. So in the mornings, you would cater to the younger kids, and in the afternoons, you would cater to the teenagers because, again, they only go to school in the morning.
Yeah, and that prevents them from joining gangs and all the stuff that they can do in the street, which sadly is a huge percent of kids. Some of them, they need a sense of belonging, and they just join things that they shouldn't.
Yeah, and because of the geography here.
Thanks for that email, Tabby. Thanks very much.
Mick and Deborah, you guys are really to be congratulated because, you know, unlike a lot of people who, as you pointed out, just basically write a check and walk away, you guys are walking the walk. You're actually in the middle of it all, developing the relationships, finding out exactly what's needed, providing what's needed, in some cases going beyond what was originally intended to go the extra distance. So my congratulations and my commendations. We guys are behind you all the way. You clearly are a great example of what we call a better world here. And for our listeners out there, you can find out more about Integral Heart and help them achieve their mission by visiting integralheartfoundation.org. Mick and Deborah, we'd like to thank you today for joining us on Better Orleans Radio.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
And as a last note, I would like to say that for us, this is like a engine in which all the parts are important, no matter how big or small they are. And it's not just us. We are just here. We put the faces, but everything counts. So each person who collaborates is...
Well, you're very, very welcome. Please, listeners, join us next week for our show, Be a Better Worldian by Being Who You Are, with Sheva Carr, CEO of Fiera Foundation and Director of Heart and Math's Heart Mastery Program. We have an excellent lineup of guests coming up in the coming weeks. And if you know of an unsung or better worldian that you think would make a great guest, please send us an email at radio@betterworldians.com. We'd like to thank everyone today for joining us. You can join the Better Worldian community at betterworldians.com. Until next time, everybody, please be a better worldian.
Thank you again for helping make the world just a little bit better this week. Please join your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope we've inspired you to do one small thing to help make a big difference. Join us at BetterWorldians.com to tell us what you've done to change the world.